Trump, he has the Turks. The Turks, yeah, he has the second best BL in the game. I'm still doing it. I know.
This is a Freedom Fiends broadcast from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus aurelius. Don't turn down the music. By warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves, this warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Jeremy Heisen N-word and Michael W. Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus can feel it. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPOC no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPOC.org. Now with mailmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what about Steve? Can Steve feel it?
Yeah. I was talking to Steve today about the mailman thing, and he said that...
I can definitely... I'm sorry to interrupt.
Doesn't sound enough like Steve. Put your finger in one nose.
Okay.
Like, cover up your nostril.
So I was
there you go.
On the subway
keep going,
today,
keep going.
And I ran into a nice young fellow, and he said unto me,
that's
hey,
pretty good.
Steve
that's
Miller, better. Miller.
Okay. He's not here, so we can make fun of him. It's the mailman exception.
Yeah. It's mailman exception. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do a test here. Hi, Jim Jesus. How are you, Jim Jesus? Are you doing well, Jim Jesus?
I am doing very well. How are you doing today, Michael W. Dean?
Good. How's Jeremy? Jeremy, talk a bit.
I'm fine, Michael. Well, if you're going to leave, then I'll ask Jim. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am good. And I'm doing good. Like Superman, doing good. And I'm also doing well while doing good.
Well, yes. that is excellent. So we've covered good, well, and excellent all in the first 5 minutes. I think we're going to have a great show.
That sounds great. By the way, last time I was on, I was meaning to tell a joke, and it wasn't my joke. It's a stolen joke from Emo Phillips, which was great, which was, should I do it his voice too?
Oh, please do. You have to.
Okay. So Trump was elected in November, and he's not going to be inaugurated until next week. The French revolutionaries would have killed for that kind of head start.
Hey, how many punk rockets does it take to change a light bulb? 10. One to do it and 9 to get on the guest list. That's the one I was saving. It's pretty good. How many guitarists does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, I know this one. 10. One to do it and the other 9 to say, hey, I can do that too.
No, the other 9 to say, I can do that. Yeah. So you made up a joke. We made up a joke. I started it and you came up with a better punchline. So what was it? Oh, how many alt-rights does it take to change a light bulb?
How many alt-righters does it take to screw in a light bulb? 2. One to do it and the other one to call the person that did it a cuck.
Yep. Yeah, so I soundchecked Jim, and I think you should turn up like 3% if that's possible. Don't split the difference.
Let's see. Is that well?
That's good.
Okay. That's well.
Yep. That's well. So Steve Miller came up with a term today. He invented a word. I was telling him how I heard that Tony Fagg, the drummer in Bomb, who I think is the first sociopath I ever met, and he's someone I can't stand, and I recently said that I would rather push a pencil up my penis and break it than be in the same room with that guy, because he's trying to get the band back together, you know. And it's like, it's kind of
That's why he wants.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And well, him and this other woman this woman that we used to know, Bubbles, wants to get the band.
Wait,
back together.
What's the name of Michael Jackson's monkey?
Probably, yeah, it fits. So she wants us to do, she was sweet back in the day, but she wanted us to get back together. She wanted me to fly to San Francisco and like spend a week rehearsing and do a benefit concert for her to get her teeth, because she lost her teeth doing speed and wants me to buy her new teeth. So, yeah, so I'm
do
not.
Do they have
I'm
any
not,
idea what you've been up to for the past 2 years?
They
want you to do a benefit for her teeth?
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
She's already in an advance.
Where's my benefit?
Yeah.
She's already in advance and giving a gummer. Why would she want to sit there?
Hash teeth. Please don't.
So he wanted the imagery.
And you know, like since Bond broke up, like Tony's done nothing and I've done everything. So he needs me more than I need him. But the thing that made me really happy was I was just telling Steve that I heard recently that Tony's living with his mother and recently sober and trying to get in touch with me. And I'm like, and it's not like his mother's not sick. He's not taking care of her. He's staying with her because he's out of options.
She's taking care of him.
Basically, yeah. And Tony's 1 week older than me. His birthday is 1 week to the day after mine, same year. So he's a little old to be moving back in with mother. But, and I was gloating to Steve Miller about this. And he said that I was filled with Schadenfagen. Tony Fag. Yeah.
Okay. Schadenfagen.
It's the only time you can say fag on the air is if you're talking about Tony Fag. So. Yeah.
So anyway,
The Oliver Stone documentary I mentioned last night. I got a couple. Jim was wrong, and I was wrong, and things like that. First of all, when I was wrong?
Jim was like, I wasn't even here. What the heck?
Yeah. Well, I said that you were still wrong last night. You were still wrong because I posted to you and Jim, to Jim Jesus and the other guy. Schadenfagen, Steve Miller, whatever his name is. This is the Kratom Fiends. All right, so yeah, Stephen Wright. Sounds like he's on Kratom. No, he's the wrong kind of Kratom. He's a white Borneo man. You get really happy, but I don't do drugs. But so Jim Jesus was wrong because I posted a link to you guys about a little thing on After School Tonight? No, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah,
and I wasn't saying
no redeeming value.
I wasn't saying I don't freaking care. I don't care what you think of John Oliver. You're planning to go to North Korea, so what he was talking about should have been interesting to you. Did you even watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Okay, it was interesting. A lot of the stuff that I end up do liking from John Oliver, I won't laugh at, but I find like value.
I wasn't
in it.
Sending it. I was just kind of thought you guys were wrong because I didn't like that you just assumed I was saying John Oliver is hilarious. Check this out. No, I was
I knew.
If there'd been a Fox News video or a Corbett Report video about it or something, you know, I would have sent it to you. It didn't matter. And I'm not saying Colbert Report. I'm saying Corbett. It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, Corbett I probably would have said the same thing about Corbett.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. But I said something wrong in there. I said that I was talking about he said, that band Leibach said that they are, you know, when asked if they're fascists, they said, we're fascists like Hitler was a painter, you know, and the joke is, yeah, you're fascist, but not very good at it. But I misspoke. I said Hitler is a painting, not a painter. So I was wrong. Jim was wrong. Oliver Stone, I think he's good. I think you're wrong. Oh, we have purple buttons. Yeah, John Stone, Oliver Stone.
John Stone.
Yes, we're through the looking glass here, people. Too many Johns, too many Stones. So, purple buttons. We got purple Bitcoin buttons now. We've got blue ones. We got purple ones. So,
wait a minute, I don't even think I have any. There's Bitcoin buttons?
Yeah.
I don't think I have a Bitcoin. Do I have a Bitcoin?
Yeah, button? It's even in the ad. Bitcoin. Yeah.
I know. I remember that, but I don't know if I actually got one of those yet.
We have them in purple now. The first batch was mistakenly printed blue.
In Bipcot blue.
Ooh. Yeah, Bipcot blue. Bip.
Well, that was the original. Bitcoin that was blue. The original thing that I made. Yeah, the original one that I made was blue.
Right.
So you probably.
But I sent the guy purple, and I think he's colorblind or like the printer was off or something. Because I sent him the image that ships with the wallet. There's two files in the wallet that aren't wallet files. One is in the CLI wallet. One is the 1,000 by 1,000 pixel purple image, which is the final. Mm-hmm. Conical, the canon of Bitcoin picture art that Jim made, but the purple one, which DJ decided. I mean, I made four up of different colors and said, hey, which one do you like better? And she kind of glanced over playing games and said, top right one, and went back to it. And that's why it's purple. And I like it. It's a good one. And the other thing is there's a Bitcoin ad. Like a radio ad in the wallet folder. That's kind of funny. So, yeah. But, so there's purple buttons. So if you order I know Paul Gordon, he's good for one. He'll order one. He has one of everything. So he'll order Bitcoin buttons. He'll order Fiends buttons tomorrow and he'll get the coveted purple Bitcoin button in there, the small button that no one else has yet. But from now on, they're all going to be that unless I give you free ones, because I have about 200 of the blue ones.
Now, you sent me flags, right? You sent me flags, which I still can't get.
I said your flags.
Yeah. Was there Bitcoin buttons in there, too?
I don't think so.
Or, okay.
I didn't have them yet. There's probably Bitcoin stickers in there.
Yeah, because the last
year holidays went out. Are horrible.
Holidays are horrible.
Oh yeah, today was. I hated today. I so hated today.
Racist.
Well, I had only a little bit of work because some of my clients were off. But there's things I could have been doing today.
Time and a half on holidays.
I can't in good conscience. I used to charge extra on the holidays, but once I became an anarchist. Holidays. Well, yeah. Once I became an anarchist, really? I couldn't do it anymore in good conscience on federally mandated holidays or nationally mandated holidays. I just couldn't do it. So, but I don't mind going to work. That's not the point. While I was out, I'm like, oh, I have some extra time today. I can go pay some bills. Unfortunately, all the bills that had to be paid today were for monopolized services by the state. So, of course, they're all shut down. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I can't even pay my bills.
Yeah, I went to go pick up my... Yeah, because I had a little thing in my P.O. box for the flags that you sent me, because they accidentally sent you my flags or whatever. I don't know how it happened. But so you sent them to me, and I got them on a Saturday, and I was like, I'll pick them up later, whatever. And I went and got my little tag out of the box in the middle of the night, and I was like, okay, I'll just pick them up Monday, because I can't pick them up Sunday. And I went there, and it was like, okay, they're supposed to be open at 8:30, and it's 9 o'clock now, and there was someone in the kind of the little kiosk thing. What, you know, those little self-help kiosks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, broken. Is it a holiday or something? And she was like, oh, yeah, it's Martin Luther King's Day. Don't worry. I was sitting here for like 30 minutes, too, wondering what the heck was going on until I looked at my phone.
She should have called you a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing I was going to say, to get this out of the way before we really start the show, I said yesterday that everyone should go see Oliver Stone's History. What is it? History, Untold History of the United States. It's like a 10 or 12 part miniseries. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. I didn't really say what I loved about it. And I think people who watch it will be surprised because it actually like praises FDR and the fact that I would love something that praises FDR. Here's what I love about it, though. It's very accurate as far as factual things that happen. If you want to sound smart on podcasts, watch this. You learn stuff that, you know, I mean, stuff that like Scott Horton knew when he's in kindergarten, but stuff that like most people that do Liberty Media don't know. But I mean, it's really the thing I like about it is America's not the hero in most of this. Like, he presents the theory and facts leading up to like the U.S. did not need to drop the bomb. It did not save lives on Japan dropping the atomic bomb.
Well, that's
great. And then, you know, a guy who was barely a president just wanted to drop it. Because you got a boner.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Kropotkin is horrible.
Worms, 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 worms.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
So, we went down on punch.com. Oh, wait. Hi. Are you there? Hello, audience. I didn't see you.
Sucker punch a homo.
Yeah. Wow. To be clear, you were doing a Dana Carvey skit called Skinheads Remain. So,
yeah.
Oh, did you guys see the, you know, we were talking about this thing last night, JP's meme of Obama putting the Medal of Honor from behind. Ooh, right there. Like it. On the crying, the weeping Joe Biden. It says, I wish I knew how to quit you, which is apparently from that movie where Hollywood got their revenge on Wyoming because a gay guy got killed here once. But you know that's why they cast that movie in Wyoming. Did you know that? That's why. That's Hollywood punishing Wyoming for two guys.
That, I like the meme of Obama putting the Medal of Honor around Obama.
Yeah. That one was pretty funny.
You mean the meme, just the picture itself?
No, no.
Someone posed his head on the person he's giving the Medal of Honor to. Yeah. So it looks like he's giving himself the Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was pretty
funny.
Well,
he did that with the Nobel Prize. But somebody had a really, really funny comment on this. You know, I'm an editor, at least for a month, maybe more, on Punk Rock Libertarian. So I'm getting to post memes that get a lot of posts, a lot of comments, a lot of likes more than comments. But what was that?
Sorry, that was me, because what you sent me to read was a YouTube video.
Yeah, don't play it yet. I just want to talk about it. But so the Joe Biden comment I really liked on that was that somebody said that they should change the vice president's title forever to Chancellor of Memes. Yeah.
By the way, did you see that Onion article where he was saying that Joe Biden realizes this may be the last time he'll ever get to throw a firecracker out during a press conference?
No.
And it shows him lighting a firecracker sad.
Oh, so I'm going to fiend source something here. So I'm making a new app. So people know, Jim, pull out your app that I made, Lulberts, and play some of the stuff on it. You know, it's this app that has recordings of Jim and I saying, allegedly, and not a guarantee. So I'm going to make an app that's just that. It's just excuses and disclaimers, you know, like, and I'm sorry, sir, an older boy told me to do it. And I'm going to get all the fiends to voice different ones. But I want suggestions for A, excuses, and B, disclaimers, like for educational purposes only, or we don't recommend you ever do this. Like for kids, so you just walk around lying. Yeah, don't try this at home. That's one too. So I need lists of those. So, yeah, not a guarantee. So post those on the fiends, and I will fiend source that into a free app for everybody. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I want to talk about how stupid people are. Well, I don't think that James Corbett is stupid. I kind of like him, the guy who does the Corbett Report, but his fans are really stupid. But he did something kind of dumb.
That was an accident.
Jeremy, read this, what he put on this YouTube video that he put out of this 2-year-old interview with me.
Oh.
Talking about some stuff.
Yeah, let's see. That the heading is the censorship solution with Michael Dean. Michael Dean of michaelwdean.com joins us today to discuss the bit top level domain and how it provides a censorship resistant alternative to the early censorable.com, .net, and other government administrated top level domains. We talk about what dot bit is, how it's managed through the decentralized Namecoin blockchain, and how the average person can use tools like MeowBit to start surfing a dot bit universe.
Okay, so this is an interview that's 2.5 years old. He put it up again this week, you know, nothing saying like this is an old interview, really. And there's all these comments on here like, I'm trying to get this working. This tutorial is horrible. Like, what's wrong with that? Can you guys figure it out?
He's talking about MeowBit. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the Namecoin thing. I guess it's the failure.
It's something that I've declared as dead tech. And, you know, first of all, like, putting out a 2.5-year-old anything about breaking technology and not saying, by the way, this is an old interview, is ridiculous, because technology moves so fast that 2.5 years later, most things, you know, don't exist anymore. If they do, no one likes them. So, and also, what's really retarded about this, though, I like him, but his fans are, many of them are practically retarded, literally practically retarded. Not literally, but
functionally retarded.
But I mean, this is not a how-to video. This is a discussion of why people should embrace an idea. And then people trying to, like, saying, like, I'm trying to follow his directions and this doesn't work. Ugh, people are dumb. All right. Don't post 2.5-year-old tech interviews as new.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
I'm on the air. You're late, and I'm going to tell your mailman joke without you.
Poor Steve.
Yeah. Steve had a good mailman joke.
You're a joke thief.
I'm a joke thief. You're doing Miller's. Your finger up your nose. You have to have a finger up your nose because he's always stuffed up like me.
I told my my finger, and I said unto him, Steve Miller's finger, you're going to have to insert into my nostril if you want to imitate my
voice. If we took a picture of you doing Steve Miller, you'd be picking your nose.
I'd be pressing on one side of my nose. But
okay. You should have your finger up your nose. So he told a pretty good joke. He had a pretty good joke, mailman joke, and there aren't many mailman jokes. So I was telling him how somebody said that the mailman exception in the BIPCOT No Government License current version, which is one of the improvements on the new Fiend phone, which is probably the final Fiend phone. You can get it at fiendphone.com for free. Go check it out, people, if you do a podcast with remote people. You know, it's good if you have the same host over and over. You don't want to use it for, you know, guests you have once, because most people are retarded, literally retarded, like James Corbett's fans. James Corbett, good guy. His fans, literally retarded. But, you know, Fiend Phone. So his joke was, I said, yeah, the mailman exception in the new Fiend Phone, I said, you know what that's for? It's so, you know, mailmen can use the product because they have to, because they deliver Fiend Phone or BIPCOT merchandise. And he said, yeah, well, it's also so when Chris Cantwell finally shoots a mailman, we can actually also charge, in addition to murder, we can charge him with violation of the BIPCOT license.
Nice.
So it'll basically like, we'll have to go visit him in prison and like knock on the glass and say, come on, Cantwell. Did I say Steve Miller or Cantwell? I said Cantwell.
I think you said it right, yes.
Shit.
Yeah. So we'll have to go visit him in prison and knock on the glass and say, like, pick up the phone so I can make fun of you for violating the BIPCOT license. All right. So I don't know what's wrong with Miller, man. I did like a half hour of tech support with him like 4 hours ago and updated and installed Fiend Phone and everything should be perfect. It was working
Fiend
great.
Phone.
We talked on
Fiend Phone.
Speaking of the devil. Hi, are you there, Steve Miller?
It's still not working, apparently.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, he's not on the user list.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
Vaporwave. Oh.
Well, before Vaporwave, I sent you a thing to read, Jim. That Jim's gonna clean this up for radio a bit on the fly, and it'll be kind of funny. So I've talked previously about how when I got sick, when I first got really sick, just out of nowhere, like almost 3 years ago, coming up on, and I'm better now, but I went through like nearly dying, a lot of respiratory issues and was vaping. I'd smoked for 30 years, 2 packs a day, and then vaped for 4 years. And then my lungs just gave out basically. And, you know, most of the damage was done by the 30 years of 2 packs a day average of cigarettes, 60 pack years. But I am pretty convinced that some of the damage was done by the vaping. You know your own body, you know what happens, you know, when you're doing something a lot more than other times, you can feel what it's doing. And, you know, like I know that vaping harmed me some, and I'm not evangelical about it, but I have talked a few times and on here and written a couple things and called in one time to Free Talk Live because their topic was vaping. Is it good for you or not? And I called up and said, well, it's not as bad as cigarettes, I believe, but it's not good for you, allegedly. Yeah, because people act like it's good for you. People that are into vaping are religious about it.
I'm into vaping, and I know it's not good for me.
But you know, you've met people that are religious about it, right? Or read about them. Yeah.
I know the people you're talking about who like scoff at you and say, no, I switched to vaping because it's much healthier. Well, okay, it may be better to in certain aspects, but no, it's still not good. You're still taking stuff. And I know I've tried so many different tanks and all these different setups. And go away, Angela. I didn't want you right now.
You quit, Angela.
You end up getting some of the vape juice in your lungs.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what system you use. Like,
when my health finally collapsed, there was a bunch of crap in my lungs too. And this person actually also said, well, there's some of the same components in your nebulizers. And the nebulizers I use once a week, not, five times an hour. And some people pretty much chain vape, and I was also chain vaping. But so, Jim, go ahead and do a silly voice if you want, and read what this guy wrote to me. And this is from an old post. Like, this post was, I don't know, 6 months or a year ago, and somebody found it. Was probably I'm gonna touch myself and Google vaping and found this. And read what he said, Jim.
My name is Episode.
No. Do it so we can understand you. Do it so you sound dumb, not retarded. Sound self-righteous and very clear and concise and like, I'm better than you.
You have to prove you're a citizen of New York.
What's that from?
So I stabbed him.
What's all that right from?
So name. Right. Go.
What's his name?
F yourself.
Yes. And his website.
Email. Lick my male
juicy
genitalia at gmail.com. Website boringoldeffer.com.
I guess that's supposed to be me.
Is that a real web? I need to check.
No, it's not. I looked, of course. It's not.
But wait a minute. It's not taken? Oh, it's so mine. Hold on.
I know. Bye. Dot bit.
Yeah. It's cheaper if you buy it through Google Domains. It's like $12. Anyways, I call BS. No, he actually gave what the initials stood for. There's PG, which is he actually did use
propylene glycol. Initials. Glycol. Yeah,
propylene glycol, but he didn't write out propylene glycol. He shorthanded it.
Why didn't he used the vapors
two?
Always.
He could
always
just
say
those two, and that would have been radio friendly. Anyways, there's PG in your nebulizers and inhalers. You quite possibly have issue with VG building up, but not PG. I think you need to see a psychological doctor. Klonopin and an antidepressant. I bet money you've got an issue, and your mental conditions like anxiety exacerbated it, and you're grasping at straws for a cause. Vaping didn't do it. If anything, it saved your life.
Wow.
Whoa.
I think this guy has issues, and I think he needs to see a psych.
You think he has issues?
Psychological doctor, something? Yeah.
You have to see a psychological doctor because you believe that breathing in things in your lungs that
aren't air
could be possibly bad for you.
You know, and I like what he said, too, that, like, no, you're wrong. Vaping didn't harm you. It was just one of the components of vaping that harmed you, is basically what he said. Yeah.
That still means
being it overall can harm you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, sound check. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Marijuana didn't hurt your lungs. It was just the smoke that it's like, no. No,
it was just the constant lighting of the lighter. It wasn't the cannabis. No, it was that harsh lighter that hurt you. That's what it was.
That burned the cannabis.
Yes. Hurt you. Well, obviously, logic isn't this guy's strong suit. So,
I understand the whole point of vaporizers are a much healthier option, or cannabis isn't as harmful as what they say, but that doesn't equal to it's good for you. It's not.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, of course.
Anything that you breathe into your lungs that isn't pure air is bad for you.
Yeah.
Everything. Oh.
Exactly. Well, like I said, I do both of those things, and I know that I'm doing some kind of damage with both of them. So
give us a review of the vape hardware that I sent you.
It's pretty.
What did you like?
Oh, yes, I got
a lot of it.
I got a really heavy box sent to me with with a ton of batteries, which
that
is great.
Probably $400 new. I'm not saying you should love me. I'm just saying, like, that's a lot of stuff.
It definitely was a lot. I know what I've paid for my stuff, and I know what most of those pieces normally go for on the sites that I buy my stuff from. So yeah,
I almost didn't send you the little desk holder things because they were the heaviest. But I was like, oh, they're so pretty, I'll send them. Do you use them?
Yeah, at first, that was one of the first things I pulled out, and I don't have any of those. Exactly, because I don't have any of those. It took me a second, and I was like, oh, I'm like, wow, that's great, because I usually just store mine in a drawer somewhere.
Yep.
So no, they're
on your desk. It's like a pen holder kind of thing.
The hardest part about taking up vaping is admitting to your parents that you're gay.
I like that, yeah. Yeah,
it was rough, but you know,
there's a couple.
I got through it.
There's a couple people on Bitcoin Talk who basically like go on every coin and post something trolly. And there's a coin actually called Vape Coin, and they basically posted that as their comment on it. One of those people recently posted on the Freedom Feed site, like I'd said something about, you know, .bip will be good news for people who are worried that the new U.S. incoming president has promised to punish journalists. And the guy quoted that and said, oh, I can taste your liberal tears from here. And like someone posted, like, are you saying MWD is liberal? And they were laughing. I commented, you know, I use liberal tears to lube my gun. You're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. So so they are. Yeah. But they never come back. There's two guys that like... I guess if people like really get butthurt, they kind of like mess.
Oh,
with
yeah. Them. Well, that's what they're looking for. People yeah, like that. Yeah. That's what they look for. If you either shoot them down right away or don't bother to engage the way they want, they're going to move on because that's not what they're target. That's not what they're after.
Yeah. And some of their stuff's kind of funny, too. That was kind of how that guy was that I said I wouldn't let post anymore on the Fiend site. The guy who made the funny
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Oh, Steve. Are you there, Steve?
No. He keeps trying.
Steve,
though.
Turn your mic on. I don't think his mic's on.
I don't either. But
I should just team viewer in. I think I still have his.
Well, no. Didn't we learn that creates a weird feedback sound on?
It doesn't if I have my computer turned down.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what we didn't do it on the air. I thought we realized that during the test session. But
I'm gonna blow his mind. I'm just gonna go in. Yeah, here we go. Fiend phones.
Well, if he's still in the user section, he may be able to hear us. Did you even ask him? Can he hear us?
I'm writing him. He wrote me. I'm writing him back. So talk amongst yourselves, gentlemen.
So
about things and stuff. Yeah. Talk. What is Vaporwave, and why does it prove that taxation is theft?
Whoa! I'm so confused now.
And wait. Donald Trump is a liar, a socialist, and his hair smells like burnt steak. We have to say that once per hour. It's talk radio.
Well, don't we text we'll have a couple days before that?
I guess we will. Yeah. I'm going to call Steve. Try to get this worked out.
Sandwich.
An ice sandwich?
Yes. Apparently, this is the thing.
I'm so confused.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
I guess they're still trying to work out on the phone, too.
Yeah.
I don't
understand how it's so difficult for some people.
I had a similar problem earlier this week where I had somebody on and they tested Fiend Phone with me to do my show on Thursday night. And we were on for like half an hour together, no issues, no dropouts, sounded great. Two nights later, he goes to hook up with me. For the life of him, no matter what we did, couldn't do it. And it was actually similar problems to what Steve's having. So, but it wasn't Fiend Phone, it was him, because I had my co-host Dave connect to me with no problem, and then I had two other people call in just to check. They called in, no problem. So I don't know. It's just weird that these freak things happen. But yeah, it definitely seems to be on the other person's end. So I don't know. What are you going to do?
Speaking of computers glitching, Michael was talking about yesterday's show. They were talking about something called Sludge Fest, which was kind of taking Alvin and Chipmunk's tune and then slowing them down to the right speed.
Fiend Phone.
Yeah.
Fiend Phone.
And it's very kind
of goodness.
Ethereal.
I see a Miller. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, it was interesting though, the Chipmunks.
Yeah, and it seems like this is kind of building upon like a genre that's still fairly popular. Everybody thought it was going to die, but it didn't die. Called Vaporwave, which is kind of like a play on the term vaporware. You know what vaporware is?
I should. Why do I know
it's
name?
It's an industry term for like a thing that's announced publicly, but then never comes.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like Duke Nukem, how it was.
Fiend Phone.
Allegedly.
Fiend Phone.
Go away.
Phone Just thing. Stop trying.
It's not going to happen. Stop making it happen. So like it's like, well, we're announcing this new software or service, and it's going to be great, and we'll have it out by next year. Oh, next year. Yeah. It's not coming out.
Perpetual hype and nothing more.
Yeah. So it's kind of a take on that, and it's also kind of it was originally supposed to be like a critique of common capitalism, which I don't buy that.
It is a critique.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's what their intention was. Okay. I think that was kind of globbed on after the fact. It's kind of a post hoc kind of explanation. Mm-hmm. But it's taking kind of old 90s kind of smooth jazz,
Fiend Phone.
And slowing it down to where the point where it's almost kind of like softcore porn music.
Really?
And then kind of making it glitch and slow down even more and skip. And it just kind of really kind of turns into kind of post-ironic listening. And it's great. And maybe after we can get Steve Miller's thing fixed, I can get Michael Dean to play some Macintosh Plus or some Toyota Celica. But it's this is the names of the groups that are doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's very kind of, and a lot of the artwork that kind of comes with it is a lot of 80s, 90s kind of visuals, a lot of emphasis on Japanese culture or tropical, imagery.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
A lot of dolphins, a lot of emphasis on Echo the Dolphin as well. But that's kind of where it originated from, with Chuck Person. Chuck Person made it as a joke.
Chuck Person, the basketball player? Wasn't he a basketball player?
I guess. I don't know. But he's actually, I can't remember what the artist's real name is, but it was kind of like a pseudonym he made just for this album, which was called Chuck Person's Echo Jams Volume 1. I think it was Volume 1, maybe Volume 2, but there's only one. And it's,
always again, mess with their minds.
Yeah, just kind of taking like kind of these old 90s things and slowing them down so it sounds really ethereal and interesting, and it's been like a fad, and there's kind of other phases that it kind of, because it's all kind of coming from a thing called Plunderphonics. There we go. And there's different kind of where they're stealing plundering phonics, stealing sounds from other artists and manipulating them to be really something kind of distorted and weird, but still kind of tapping into a nostalgia. It's really weird. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I found the Chipmunk song fascinating. I couldn't stop listening to it. I'll have to check some of that out.
Yeah, Sea Punk, Witch House. And if it wasn't for something like that synth wave and all the music that you got from Kung Fu, or was it Kung Fury, probably yes. wouldn't have been so popular, because that kind of started.
Fiend Phone. Fiend Phone.
Post irony kind of wave.
Gotcha.
Stop trying to make Miller Miller hat a thing. It's not. It's not gonna happen.
Gotta give him, you know, he's determined. You gotta give him that much.
Yeah, worms.
Worms.
We'll be back from the market soon. Don't worry.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Michael Dean, I guess, is still supporting or giving tech support, so yeah. Why don't you do the intro, because I'm bad with this.
Oh, sure thing, Jim. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Views Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lip Pair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back for the second hour. This is Jeremy Heisen, N-word. I think we're fun with tonight. And I'm here with Jim Jesus.
I've never let that one go. It's great.
Michael W. Jesus. Well, most of the body tech supports. Yes.
This is not JCM music, but it sounds like it. It's Vaporwave. Jim wanted to play this. Jim, what is this and why should we care?
This is delicious Vaporwave. It's so ethereal and delicious.
It's the music of the alt-right, isn't it?
No. No, no, that's hatecore.
I saw an interesting analysis. I actually followed a link from one of the big news sites, Associated Press, I think it was, and they were talking about, like, what is the alt-right and why should you care? And they had a link to Daily Stormer. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's like the most popular alt-right site. And they had a page that's linked boldly and largely on their front page that said, like, alt-right for normies. And it was pretty detailed explanation that was easy to follow for people who don't know. And one of the things I found interesting that I think was kind of a cop-out was, why did the alt-right like anime so much? And for those that don't know, anime is Japanese animated cartoons that often have, like, you know, characters that look like they're 12 or 13 having sex. Or,
oh, that's hentai. Anime is kind of like the broader term for all of the Japanese.
It includes
animation.
Hentai, though, right?
Yes.
Anime is just Japanese cartoons in general.
Yeah. Right? So, do you know why
hentai is the explicit version?
What is the? You think the reason is because they're all like 30-year-old children living in their parents' home, right?
And hugging their hug pillows and
yeah. So the explanation they had was that that the alt-right respect Japanese culture because the Japanese are insular against outside influences, and because they overcame, you know, two nuclear bombs and became a world power technologically, whereas, like, black people, you know, had slavery and still say that they need a handout to overcome things. That was the explanation they gave. You think there's anything to that?
Fiend phone.
No, I'm sure that's what they tell themselves.
If you rewind the clock back 100 years, everything that they say about black people today, these groups, not everybody, but these racist groups that they say about black people, was the exact same thing people were saying about the Japanese and a lot of the Asian cultures 100 years
ago. And libertarians.
Hey, Steve, Miller.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness, it works.
Everything I did worked, didn't it, Steve?
I blame Vaporwave.
You're You're a technological genius.
I'm pretty darn good, man. So we're listening to Vaporwave. Do you know what that is, Steve?
I do. I know both the concept and the Windows 95 original. I'm a fan of Vaporwave from way back.
Oh, wait. Is it named after the Windows 95? I mean, is the Windows 95 startup sound Vaporwave?
It was the first Vaporwave, as I understand it.
Is that the one that goes like, ring, ring, ring?
Yeah.
That one? It sounds like this.
This is a slowed down version of Diana Ross's hit, It's Your Move.
Oh, because you thought of this because you brought this up. I mean, I know you're a fan, Jim, but you brought this up because we played the Chipmunks at half speed and it sounded like this.
It's very reminiscent of kind of the slow, ethereal, but that was more sludgy because they were using a rock song. So the distorted guitar sounded really neat, slowed down.
Is this actually just a slowed down Diana Ross song?
Yeah, and it's kind of chopped up and mangled.
And it's not that
slowed
down, though.
When it gets towards the end, it gets really
It's not
pitched.
Half speed. It's like, you know, down like 20%, not 100%. But
my father died in a vapor mine. Thank you.
I always think of vaporware when I see vaporwave. You know, like software that's announced that never comes out. Like, you know, .bip is probably going to be if I don't raise a lot more money in the next week. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, no, don't say that.
Ooh. Hey, I'm going to give everyone's money back if I don't raise enough. I'm not going to be like other people in Liberty and crypto coins who raise money and then don't raise enough and then just keep it all. Molyneux.
You would be the least successful. You'd be the least successful televangelist of all time.
I know.
You don't raise that fundraising goal. God's gonna get you your money back.
Yeah,
God will send me home if you guys don't donate. And no one donates. You
know, I've heard of people donating when people say
goodbye,
that,
sweet,
like,
cruel world.
Like, when televangelists say like God's gonna take them if they don't get enough money. Like I've heard of atheists sending him a couple bucks. So you know that startup sound on Windows 95, you know who made that?
Brian Eno.
Yeah, the father of all modern music.
Yeah.
And he said
I want to get a paternity test for that.
Yeah, that's funny. He said it was one of his greatest challenges and most enjoyable
contract work. You are not the father.
He'd ever done. Partially because one thing was like, it had to be exactly 4.78 seconds or something like that. And he isn't used to working in confines like that and enjoyed it. Made him more creative. But he basically invented trance music, rave music, glam, sort of did a lot with glam. A lot of Pink Floyd was influenced by him, I think. Everything. He invented everything. Oh, chill out. He invented chill out music.
What is chill out music?
What is chill out music? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Ambient.
Well, he invented
new
ambient
age.
Music. Or like, kind of. Well,
excuse me. Nah, not new wave.
Oh,
easy listening.
Ambient music is musical wallpaper. I mean, new age is meant to be musical wallpaper, but chill out. Yeah.
Well, that's what I think of.
What we're listening to would be if it wasn't so glitchy and weird.
Yeah, this would work. Yeah. Chill out music is, it's ambient music came first. Eno did a couple records that were called, one was called Music for Airports, and one was called Music for Films, and they both sounded like they'd be perfect for that, and have actually been used for that. But chill out music, I think where the term came from was slow, mellow rave music that they'd play in the back room of a rave for like when people took too much ecstasy and were flipping out. Their friends would take them to the chill out room. They'd have bean bags and, you know, quiet and mellow instead of loud and pulsing.
He made another album called Songs for a Greyhound Bus Station, and it was just the theme from Cops.
Nice.
There is a subgenre of vaporwave called Malsoft, and it's really much more kind of like the music that you would hear in the 90s at a mall.
Oh
yeah,
and what was that stuff called? Muzak.
Am I listening to it right now?
Yeah, that's what it was, wasn't it? The Muzak stuff they would play, because I remember working in retail stores through the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. That's all you heard. It was the same 40 songs played over and over ad nauseum.
Yeah, but if it was really good, like Palm Mall.
But it wasn't good. It was, because usually wherever I worked, there was always like maybe one or two songs that I actually liked in that entire set. And then I ended up hating them by the time I was done working there.
Yeah, Michael's playing some Mallsoft right now. That sounds very Mallsofty. Oh, no, no. It kind of picked back up. Yeah. Sort of. I guess it's
like, this just sounds like something I would hear in like an 80s movie.
Yeah. Very montage.
Like some scene, some guy's running or something.
In his Ferrari with the sunglasses on into the sunset.
I actually don't make vaporwave. I make montage soft. Thanks.
Montage soft. This is Brian Eno from Another Green World, which was his kind of like transition from rock to ambient. And he did another record right before or after this called, because you know he was in Roxy Music. Do you guys know that band? Love is the drug that I'm thinking of was their hit.
Is that kind of like the female version of Quicksilver music?
Quicksilver? The big Quicksilver Messenger Service?
We're talking about 90s stuff here, and you didn't get that obvious.
I'm talking about 70s and 80s stuff.
I missed that too for a second.
Okay.
What's the
I should have picked that. I should have picked that.
Quicksilver was a...
For the people who don't know what music is that are listening on radio...
Okay, so yeah, Quicksilver was a clothing line, and their female line was Roxy, and they basically made their little, little thing. Yeah,
it wasn't like surfer type stuff, and like,
Their little logo was like a wave going over a mountain.
Yep. Yeah,
and they made two of those together to make it look like a heart for the.
You have to explain a joke.
Jim, I just want to congratulate you on your gold medal in the who can make the most dated and narrow cultural reference.
Yeah, you win.
I'd like to think the Academy and Trump is literally Hitler and MMA is not sport. Or is not art.
This is Roxy Music. This is Eno's band before, This is them on American Bandstand. Yeah, Brian Ferry was their singer. And he's actually straight, but... Ooh, Eno has long hair in this. It's weird. Yeah, so Eno did an album called Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, and I'll play some of that. But interesting side note about my old band, Bomb. Doug Hilsinger. I know. Doug Hilsinger, the guitar player, the gay guitar player, not the I'll do anything that moves guitar player. The other one, Doug. Did a cover, him and this woman named Caroline Beatty, who's a good friend of mine, did a record where they covered the whole album, Another Green World, by Brian Eno. Or no, Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, and released it as a CD. And Eno, when he finally pressed it he sent a cassette of it to Eno. This is back when they had cassettes. And Eno called.
What's that, Grandpa?
I know. He called Doug and left a message on his answering machine. And later, Doug released this on CD and put this message at the beginning of the record. And it's something like, "Hello, is this Douglas Hilsinger? This is Brian Eno. And I just want to say, I just finished listening to your..." And it's not Molyneux, it's Brian Eno. "I just finished listening to your album where you reinterpreted my entire album, Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. And I just want to say, you've really breathed life in a new way into a very cold sounding record." That's cool. That's high praise. That's like, you know.
And you know it wasn't Molyneux because his eyes didn't fall out at the end.
Funny. I like it. Yeah.
Now that's some narrow narrow reference right there. Again, I would like to thank the Academy and
Congress. Yeah.
And Trump is Hitler, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. Third Uncle. I'll play that when we get back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Meow.
gosh, I remember that sound.
You've got mail.
I miss the old days when Michael Dean got an email and it would play the little xylophone thing from Log. Every time. And he used to trip me out every time I used to listen to it. Like, how come the Log theme is playing? And he's like, no, that's from my song, Mom. I'm like, no, not that. There's the Log theme. And I know that Log theme because I don't know how many times I've heard it. At least in the last couple of years, too.
Yeah.
Yes, Ren and Stimpy was a wonderful, masterful show.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
We're going to listen to Brian Eno on the air. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Who is Brian Eno?
And Stimpy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Third Uncle. Same cool song. I'll send a link for Jeremy to put in the show notes of the Hillsinger one, because that's the one you won't be able to find by memory. All right.
Not Vaporwave. It's all in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's all in the show notes.
A lot of people told me they loved last night because they all got turned on to like five new bands they'd never heard of, including Jeremy.
Well, yeah, no, I said
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, and I had heard of them. I just never heard their. I don't remember ever hearing their early stuff. And I actually listened.
They're cowpunk.
Yeah, that the first EP you sent me that was like 27 minutes long or something.
Punk rock never would have happened without Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It's true. No.
Sign he wanted back. His hula hoop.
He just wanted a hula hoop.
Yeah.
I would like to hear that one slowed down too. So if hashtag please hashtag. Donate Alvin and Chipmunk songs.
Hashtag please vaporwave.
Vaporwaves, Mies of Malvern, and the Chipmunks. Yeah.
I accept the vapor.
You should make a bumper sticker and say hashtag please vaporwave with a QR code for the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. That'd be funny too, because like, what are people going to try? I wonder if with a good size, how big a QR code would have to be for someone to be able to read it with their phone from the car behind them driving. Probably pretty big.
Google, or it we depends on the camera, one, maybe. But it's
vaporwave.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So I just heard about today that the Ringling Brothers are done. There's no more circus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kanye. This is all news to me. I must be way out of the loop.
P.T. Barnum got the presidency. There's no point anymore.
the world's a circus, right? All the world's a circus.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So I guess they had a bunch of lawsuits from rights advocates.
And, they've been dealing with that for years, but we heard that earlier.
Well, it came from 1996. There was this monkey, and he checked into a Trump hotel, and he turned a 4-star hotel into a 3-ring circus. Either that happened, or that's the plot line of Dunstan Checks In.
They had been getting sued for years, but the news report that we caught earlier said the spokesperson said they've won every single lawsuit. Like they've been successful in court defeating all these lawsuits that come against them and stuff.
I'm sure it's costly though.
But the spokesperson put it was that in the court of public opinion they apparently still lost, which I interpreted to mean they just sales were incredibly down despite them still winning all these cases.
In a YouTube age, it's difficult to keep the kids' interest. Like, what? You got some guy going in a loud motorcycle, like in some sort of circle. Like, that doesn't do it anymore. You're like, you're gonna have to,
You're gonna have to go on roller skates and jump to the Beatles. That's what you're gonna need to do.
It's just sad that the only major thing that's gonna be called the circus now is gay ol' Cirque du Soleil. I can't stand Cirque du Soleil. I know you live in wrong.
Yeah, we were just talking about that during the break. How great those! I saw two shows, Mystère and Love, which is kind of like the Beatles version of it. I thought they were fantastic.
Well, I've dated a bunch of gay Asian dudes, so I've seen a whole bunch of them, and they were all overpriced.
Maybe you went to a different Cirque du Soleil than I went to, but I went to the official one, not the one at the back of the Rainbow Club. Wow. I don't even want to know what's happening in that Circus de Soleil. No, thank you. I bet they don't even speak French.
Do they even understand farm to table at this Cirque du Soleil?
But I thought those were great. I don't know about Circus Vargas. From what I understand, they were always animal free. But I remember going to one as a kid and being like, well, I'm bored. Circuses were never really interesting to me, but
I love Circus though. The casino that's based on Sirhan.
Which has a wonderful arcade. Wonderful arcade. If only they would be open after dark for the adults. Now that our barcade got closed. So
our barcade is still open here in Philadelphia. I went on a date there one time, like a true swinging single.
Nice.
Yeah.
So So sumos, were you playing Street Fighter 2 where there's actually a sumo in the game?
They serve some really fatty food there. You could tag a nice 5-10 pounds on a sumo, just keeping him in, making sure he doesn't walk around to the different ones too much. Got to keep him away from the Dance Dance Revolution too. That's a calorie burner. keep him on the old school Dig Dug.
Oh yeah.
Order some buffalo chicken fries.
Or even better, one of those ones you have to sit down to play.
Oh, yeah. I'll bring the tokens to you. It's fine.
Yeah, there you go. Like one of those shooter games they give you a little stool for.
Oh, it was a shooter game, all right. But yeah. More first person. They got the old school Deer Hunter and everything. Yeah. And the thing is, we're close enough to central Pennsylvania that there's people that walk in, like, and there's enough hipsters that they walk in looking like they're from the game Deer Hunter.
Drinking PBR, too, probably.
Because this is the thing about living in an area with a lot of hipsters, is that they'll dress like one portion of their body is about to go hunting. Like, you'll get, like, the neon vest, but it'll be with board shorts or something like that.
Yeah. Surf in the front, hunting in the back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak. I don't know. I guess all these kind of lefty kind of activist groups kind of ruin everything that's good. If you want to call the circus, that kind of circus, good. I don't know. But
Can we do a commercial like the celebrities do with all the freedom fiends saying one thing, but repeating it after one another? Repeating it after one another. Repeating it after one another.
Sure. And they always work, right? These advertisements always work that they try to do every... No, I guess it initially worked with the getting of Barack Obama elected. Then they were like, oh, I guess this will work internally forever. And then it kind of worked in 2012 to an extent. And then now they just keep pumping these things out, and they're so bad. I think there's like an iMovie template that they just like, well, it keeps working and it's so easy to make. You just just read this script and then we'll just cut it up a million times.
Scientology is always way behind the trend. I would love it if they release like a similar one 5 years from now and it was all the Scientology celebrities. Zeno put thetans in your body. Thetans in your body. Thetans in your body.
Thetans in your body. But yeah. I don't know. They're so bad. They tried everything. They tried to do it to get Hillary elected. Oh, Bernie elected. Didn't work. Tried Hillary. Didn't work. Tried to get the faithless electors to vote out of their conscience. Didn't work. What were they trying to do after that? I think they did one other thing.
Did they really? I thought they stopped.
The thing about being a libertarian instead of being one of these liberals. Like, the thing about autistic screeching is you can always blame it on the autism. These people have no excuse. Like, absolutely none. If you want to scream at a parking meter maid for a while, people will be like, all right, well, there's something. Like, he's clearly got the ANCAP. But he's clearly got the ANCAP. But, like, if you just run... God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, but there's another one. It's not just that one, the celebrities. Then there's like the ones with the social justice warrior version, where it's BuzzFeed. Well,
I've seen this one.
Dear White People. That was the MTV one. But BuzzFeed kind of started that whole thing where it's like they're going to show like a bunch of social justice warriors, and they're all going to make a complaint about the marginal group, which is white straight men. Everything is always about white straight men. Oh, hey, straight people. Here's the things that are bugging me about you. You're holding hands with your significant other, okay? But when I do it, I got a look one time, and that was literally Hitler to me. It was like being at Auschwitz. And it's all the same. It's all the same kind of formula, and they're all cringe-inducing. Yeah,
and it's so lacking in self-awareness too. Like, it's the product of, like, only ever talking to people of your own political orientation, which is why.
I'm looking at you, Fox News. Oh, you got told, Fox News. I'm sure they're all crying about it right now. Yeah. You know what you did, Kanye.
Oh, yeah, you know what you did, Kanye.
How dare you talk to Trump? How dare you? Yeah.
I, Somebody tried to get me this is like a year ago, but someone tried to get me unbooked from a comedy show because of a Facebook comment that I liked. Their evidence that I was a poo lord was that I had liked someone's comment.
Confirmed. Oh. Pollock.
And this was somebody who lived in another city too. Like they had absolutely zero connection to the show, but they hated me. And they were trying to get me unbooked, and they were like, look at this comment that he liked on Facebook. And wow. The booker's like, this is a sock account of yours, right? Like, nah, 'twas not. 'Twas real life. You can't apologize to these social justice warriors. You have to just push on. Like, well, yeah, you do you. Yeah. Otherwise, you're admitting guilt, and you can't ever. You just gotta, once you see them start to swarm, that's the exact moment you dig your heels in. It's the only way.
That's some dedication, though. He must have really not liked you. Not just find something you posted. Find something come you on. Liked.
Like it was a he. Come on.
Oh.
I don't know. No, this was a strong supporter of women in comedy. And the goal was to get me thrown off the show so that a woman could be.
Oh, wow.
Could be put on there. And it's, you mean to tell me that you didn't book a female comedian when you booked a poo lord who liked the following Facebook comment? Look. How dare you, how dare you, how dare you?
Wow.
Aghast, aghast, aghast. Swarm, swarm, swarm. You know, like it's.
Did
it's
you try making one of those BuzzFeed videos about you? Top 10 complaints about Steve.
I hope that'd be great.
Comment likes.
You know what you did, Steve Miller. You remember November 2015, the commentary you liked on social media.
I'm looking at you, Freedom Fiends.
I'm looking at you. Our children are looking. Our daughters are looking.
Our daughters are watching. Steve Miller is making offensive jokes about fat Asian men on stage. What kind of message are we sending to our children? Is this what we want?
What kind of message are we sending to the radio stations that still play us? Going meta.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm so tired of this formula.
This is where we're screwing up, though. We need to have like a team of social justice warriors that every time we get thrown off a station, need to claim it's the greatest, most pivotal battle for free speech ever fought. Because like whatever focus their attention on is like the most epic battle for humanity that has ever been waged. So like right. You just have them focused on like, hey, this, you know. Rush Limbaugh doesn't want to play the cat buff ad. Go get him.
Well, because freedom of speech means that every private platform needs to air your opinion, because that's what free speech is, right?
Right.
Allegedly. I think that's in the Constitution. It says, like, radio stations and MTV have to air my social justice warrior nonsense. Yes. Otherwise, it's literally rape. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the magic parchment, and I and my hair dye have come to claim what's rightfully mine.
my neon hair dye and my nose ring. You're offending it. Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Question. Point of order. How
literally shaking.
How many lip rings do I need in order to reject the gender binary?
I think you need to check your privilege, okay? Because I'm literally shaking because of that question. Literally shaking.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Redemption. Redemption.
It's not often that you see a Salon article and read it, and I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's like ever.
If you look at your broken clocks, they should be right about that now. But here it is, Salon. Alt-right eats its own neo-Nazi podcast. I don't know. It's not neo-Nazi. It's on the bad end of the alt-right for sure. Podcaster Mike Enoch quits after doctors reveal his wife is Jewish.
Oops.
Oops.
Boy.
Anyway, so Donald Trump hasn't even taken, this is from the article, Donald Trump hasn't even taken the office, but his racist alt-right movement that has latched onto him already is showing signs that it's falling apart, which I kind of predicted. You know, these kind of groups kind of eat their own. It happened with the social justice warriors, and now it's happening to the cultural justice warriors, so to speak. The loosely knit group was shocked to the core Saturday night when one of its most influential leaders, a man known by his online followers as Mike Enoch, a virulent racist and anti-Semite, was revealed to be a New York website developer named Mike Pinovich, who said that his wife was Jewish. Although the motivations behind his apparent decision are not clear, his operations presumably generated some modest cash flow from true believers on the alt-right crusade. It probably had to do with his PayPal donations and the fact that he was selling merchandise like the Daily Showa oven mitt. Really classy. Really classy.
Oh, man.
It's pretty bad when your white nationalist, forthright neo-Nazi fascist movement is one of the head guys happens to be married to a Jew. Yeah. So that's good. I guess a lot of the other people from this website, the right stuff, have also been doxxed as well. But this one's probably the most tasty. The guy who's running the site turns out to be married to a Jew.
Somewhere out there, there's got to be a nomadic tribe of racists that started off like as fans of Milo. And then they were like, oh, wait, he's actually a degenerate. So they had to, like, go over to the right stuff. And then they were, like, we're Cantwell fans. And then he started doing meth. So, like,
And marrying, and he was dating a Puerto Rican girl.
Yeah, so he was gone. So that's the editor of this website. Now he's married to a Jewish woman. And off they go for 40 years in the desert, almost like a tribe of, say, with me, Jews.
Well, actually, there was one more step because Red Ice Radio had brought on a Jewish reactionary, and this is what started the whole thing where everybody's like, okay, we need to start eating our own now because how dare they allow this Jew?
Make sure they're kosher first.
And now this. So they got like one of the guys that makes the parody videos called Seventh Son. They got him. They doxed him. They doxed some other people that were involved in the site.
They doxed all 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, they doxed the guy that wrote the anti-ANCAP article that was so bad that even the guy who wrote the article was like, yeah, let's pull that down. That was a dumb argument against anarcho-capitalism. So Enoch, this is the creator of the popular neo-Nazi website, The Right Stuff. For several years, he has also co-hosted a podcast called The Daily Showa, a deliberately offensive pun on the Hebrew term for the Holocaust. It is classic, not very classy, but I did get a chuckle when I first heard about it. I was like, that's kind of clever, but terrible. In his online persona, he routinely cracked jokes about killing the Jewish people and forcibly deporting Muslims and people of African descent. The weekly program had roughly 100,000 regular listeners, many of whom listened regularly sent financial donations to PayPal or bought merchandise from the site, like I mentioned, the oven mitt. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of these people were docs. Turns out I was dating kind of ironically, because this is also the same website that started the whole echo thing or the parentheses of Jewish people's names because their name echoes throughout history. Like, they're the ones that started that whole kind of meme. So when you go online and you see people's name in parentheses, they're usually kind of mocking that trend that was going on because they're Jewish themselves or trying to throw off the conscience detector plugin that they made, which puts all Jewish people's names in parentheses because it actually threw off the algorithm. Yeah. So it's all kind of falling apart. Now that they got their wish, everything's falling apart.
What a shame. Social
justice warriors are falling apart.
Turns out the Fourth Reich isn't so forthright.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to crawl into bed with my Jewish wife, everyone.
Worms. This is probably the best redemption I've ever had to deliver. Oh, it's so tasty.
Make sure you blow out your menorah before you go to bed.